You've tuned in to Tabletop Meta, a podcast where we talk about the meta of tabletop gaming.
Why we game, how we game, what games we play, and what all that says about us as gamers and people. Welcome to a special episode of Tabletop Meta, a meta game review. As with most things in this podcast, we are coming at it a bit differently. So it's not a review in the traditional sense. We will talk about the game, its theme, some of the game mechanics, and other basics. But, as this is tabletop meta, we will not be doing a step-by-step how to play, or even an in-depth discussion of game mechanics. Instead, we'll talk about the milieu of the game, the feel of it, the ambiance of it, what it makes you feel, or what it makes you think about. All those things that don't come in the box, but that are essential, at least for me, in making a game enjoyable. On to the episode.
Well, I'm glad you could join us today. I'm Will.
And I'm Becky. Welcome to Tabletop Meta. This is a very special episode of Tabletop Meta in which we are going to talk extensively about the second edition of D-Day Dice, which is coming out from WordForge Games.
And which is on Kickstarter right now.
Which happens to be, just so you know, November 20th, 2017. So if you're way in the future, you can forget Kickstarter and you can just go to the stores to buy it because I'm pretty sure it reached its funding level already.
Yeah, and it's a good game. So yeah.
We were privileged to receive a demo copy from WordForge Games and we got to look at it and compare it to the original. Because we are also privileged to have a copy of the original.
Right, because I think we received the original D-Day dice from a Board Game Geek Secret Santa about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I have to say, when we opened the box and they pulled out D-Day dice, I'm not I don't usually go for war games, and they pulled it out, and I thought, oh, and that was a terrible feeling. Mostly because it was ridiculously misplaced. It was a very yes. good gift. And there's a lot I like about D-Day Dice.
Well, the thing with D-Day Dice, even though it looks like a war game, it's actually a cooperative game. And it's a tribute to the invasion on January 6th.
Yeah.
So you are actually playing the troops invading Normandy and the various beaches and taking on the Germans.
As cooperative games go, this is a very difficult cooperative games.
I found this one to be hard, yes. We played the demo set 3 times and we got close once, but didn't win.
Yeah, now, but that was 2-player. Have you ever played more than 2-player?
Yes, I have played the original with all 4.
Do you recall if you've ever won the original?
It's been a while. No, I don't think
so. I know we won the original, but they had a training setting in the original that was an easier play, and we won that.
Yes.
I don't believe we've ever won the actual Storming the Beaches of Omaha setting.
No, but to me, I like the idea that you don't win all the time because of the subject matter.
Well, you know, and that's true, and this isn't the entire Normandy invasion that you're dealing with.
You're dealing with a small section of
right,
the beach.
Right, and quite honestly, most of the small sections of the beach did not make it to the top and storm the bunkers all the way through.
Correct.
So it's quite brutal and realistically brutal, I would say. And the new edition of it keeps that with it.
Yes, the second edition definitely keeps that.
I think one of the things, since people listening to this may never have played D-Day Dice, is one of the reasons why it's difficult is because you are using dice, that when you're going, you have to roll your dice to get the things you need.
Yes, you have 6 dice. You have 6 dice with 2 of each color.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. They call it a red, white, and blue system. And then you're matching up those dice over 3 different rolls to get your results.
And each dice has 6 different sides to it.
Correct.
1 troop, 2 troop.
There's the metal.
Valor and tools. And there's something I'm missing.
Skull.
Oh, the skull, that's right. That
is a negative.
I have to say that the last time we played, I think I rolled the skull on my 6 dice only once. That was awesome.
I was rolling it all the time.
I know, that was awful for you. This is why it's hard. But there are ways to mitigate some of the dice rolls.
Yes, because as you get more courage, as you get more medals, as you get more tools, you can find objects and recruit other cards that will help simulate like a hero or a corporal or a messenger, which will help you mitigate, help you trade and work your way up.
And you have to, you know, in the game that goes, you know, as we said earlier, this isn't going to have a detailed setting of how to play the game, but we're going to kind of give you an overview of kind of our feelings and what it goes. You're correct. Storming up the card as you go, and you have to move from the ocean to the beach, further up to the beach, and then finally you get above the beach and into the bunker, and then if everybody gets up there with any surviving troops at all, then you will. But everybody has to make it to the top.
Yes, everyone has to make it. If one person loses, everybody loses.
And in order to move up to the next level, you have to have the correct amount of courage to move to that level. You have to have the same number of troops, because each turn you lose a number of troops, and as you advance up the beach, that number gets higher and higher.
Yeah, so you're going to be losing lots of troops at the top or upper levels.
Yeah, I think in the Omaha bunker, just to get into the bunker, when you're in there, you lose 20 troops. And 20 troops are really hard to get. They have limits to how long you can stay in one place. And as you're going up, you have each beach area has different fatalities that you have to take. They have different requirements to get there. You have landmines you have to cross.
Yeah, and then on your player dice, which is on the board, you'll be moving that, and that actually is part of your timekeeping.
Right, because you have to move in three turns, unless you have to move right away, because there are certain parts of the beach where you just can't stay or you will die, so you have to move on. If you don't have the correct amount of courage, you die.
Right.
If you don't have the right specialist to move into an area, you die. If you, in some areas, like when you reach the top, you have to sacrifice a medic. I have to say that was one change they had in the new one. They said that you had to kill the medic to move up, or kill the sharpshooter. And I just think that that's poor terminology, because that, and I, personal preference,
you would
I prefer sacrifice. Sacrifice implies that the person doing it has some choice in the matter. But that's just personal preference.
Yes, but this game does get into those kind of issues.
Yeah, that's very true. You need to do that as you're going up.
Because I think there's a lot in the game, along with the original game, where it sets up the environment you're playing at. Whereas the maps are remembrance of certain people.
Yes, that was in the original, and I don't know how much they're going to keep, because, like I said, we got a demo version that's just, you know, a shortened version of everything. In the original playbook that they had in the rules, they had the different remembrances and tributes to different troops and people.
Yeah, they do have dedications to the maps.
Right, and each map says this is dedicated to this squad or this group of people who did that.
So, for example, in the Omaha Beach map, which we received in the demo kit, it says at the bottom, this map is dedicated to the legendary combat photographer Robert Capra and the men of the U.S. 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One.
You know, and I'm always very happy when they do things like that. Now, you're a bit of a World War II buff.
Oh, I enjoy aspects of it, yes.
You know, well, okay, I don't know if buff is a correct word, but you are a bit of a historian on it. You know a bit about the...
Yes.
My main connection to World War II, the thing that I did, is that I love the Bill Muldoon. Muldoon?
Yeah.
Muldoon. Muldin. Muldoon. He was a cartoonist in World War II, and he drew the feelings of the troops as they went through. There was very little heroic about his cartoons. They were very real life. And playing the original D-Day dice and looking through the book gave me that same feeling of it, kind of in the trenches, not so much heroic as just doing what needed to be done. Does that make sense? And I have to say that the demo version of the reprint did capture some of that to me, even though they didn't have all the flavor text, I suppose it would be in that.
No, I thought they did a very good job of keeping what was good about the first edition and doing a lot to improve for the second edition.
One thing I really did like with the second edition was you have the different countries that you can play. There's Australia and America and Britain and...
U.S.
No, I had the USA.
French.
Oh, gosh, how could I forget the French? But each one in the original, everybody was completely identical. When you roll your dice, if you would get three, let's say the soldiers, if you got one soldier in white, one soldier in red, and one soldier in blue.
You got a bonus.
That was a bonus, a red, white, and blue bonus. In the original, everybody got always the same bonuses. In the second edition, they had some changes so that when you had it, some of the bonuses you got were slightly worded different. Nothing spectacularly
different. But it was definitely different.
And I kind of like that. I always like having individual changes. It wasn't really enough to make a huge difference in the game and to really stand out. And I actually would be curious as to know the reasoning behind it. I mean, did they just choose to be different and randomly assign that? Or were there certain thoughts behind the reasons for giving those slight changes?
I think it's a good change, though.
Yes, and I like that. I like the change. The maps were slightly bigger in the
second edition. The maps.
I keep wanting to call it a reprint, and I'm not sure if that's a good.
No. I think it's. I would go with second edition is much more appropriate because it is taking the original game. It's redoing it.
They did some changes.
But they made things bigger. They changed some of the iconographically images on there.
Yes.
I think a little more readable.
The rule book seems to be more legible, definitely.
Yes.
In the original, they kind of went with the courier, which makes sense. You're doing the typewriter. It's World War II. But the font that they used in the reprint... I'm thinking books here. The second edition, where it was more legible and it's slightly easier to read as you were going across.
Yes, they did also some refinements in the wording. I think they really took a look at what the original game was and amped it up, changed it to make it more dynamic.
I agree with that. We only had one map in the demo set that they sent us for the second edition, and it was the Omaha Beach. We played it in the demo set that they gave us of the second edition. We played that three times, and then we went back and we played it again in the original version. We didn't win ever, but I thought that the iconography...
There you go.
You
can say it better than I can.
The iconography of it was more understandable in the second edition and much more legible and easier to read.
Yes. In the full game, there will be eight maps.
Eight maps. Okay. And that was good. D-Day Dice is fun for, I think, a couple of reasons. If you're history person... D-Day Dice does it. It's not really a war game as I would see it. It's not like Memoir 44.
No, I mean, that's a little easier of a... But I could see where you'd look at the first box and you'd go, oh, this looks really cool. I'm going to be fighting in that. And it's... I could see some war gamers grabbing that box and going, ooh, and then open it up and go, oh, cooperative.
Yeah, dice.
The second edition... says right on there, single and multiplayer co-op game.
Right. You know, it's a funny little thing about the choice of pictures between them. In the original D-Day dice, they have the picture and the soldiers are running off of the amphibious landing machines towards you onto the beach. In the second edition, you are on the amphibious machine or landing vehicles. Correct. And you are running onto the beach with them towards the smoke and all that. And it's a minor thing, but I really like the thought that this second edition feel drops you and it feels like you are part of it rather than they're running towards you. You are with them going out. Minor thing, but I like
think
it.
It's part of the feelings and the thoughts that they've put into the second edition.
Yes. You know.
Which I think if you're going to take a game, you're going to release it as a new edition, second edition, that you should take that time.
Yep.
And make it a good game.
I can't think of
You know, take that good game and make it better.
I can't think of anything that they did that I found off-putting. Well, outside of, you know, the kill versus sacrifice.
Yes.
But that could be, I can understand the point of doing it the other way too. It does make it slightly more real.
Yes.
Less glamorous, I suppose, the kill your specialist as you're going in. The thing that I did like, they did have some different cards. And the cards that you can get, you can buy soldiers and you can buy equipment depending upon the dice that you roll. I think they gave some different items. And yes. There were a couple places, for example, in the second edition now where you may have to sacrifice some of the equipment you have because it's explosive, it's volatile.
Yes, that was actually something also to when you breach the bunker, you use explosives, and that's something completely new in the game.
Yes.
Just for reference, when you set up the game, you have your own pool of characters that you are going to use. Each player will have that. But also, there will be a center pool of players and equipments that everybody can buy. And the equipment generally is a one-time use. Once you use it, it's gone. And no one can use it otherwise after that. So, like, there might be a lieutenant in the central pool where if you have enough awards, you can go grab that. But you might have to talk with your players and say, can I grab that one? Do you mind if I get that one? You're going to be working together on that.
Well, and if you are in the same sector of the beach,
you
can trade. You can trade equipment. You can trade troops. Personnel. And you can trade troops, which is very handy. And I think I've never managed to get around to where I could play this with four people. We've always played this two-player. I can see how that would be more of a value when you have more people playing it, because then you will have more equipment out, and if you're going someplace and somebody needs a sharpshooter, you can give them your sharpshooter so that they can go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have the same thing. Because I think the last time we lost because we didn't have the right personnel to move up, and we had to move up, and we just couldn't.
Yeah, we were forced to move up, and we were going, we're dead. There's no way for us to get past that point.
Yeah, and we just weren't. Fortunately, obviously, in the real D-Day, they had a lot of people doing it who were better at this than we would have been. One thing that they have is in order to keep track of your troops that you have, your honor points, your tools and equipment, and that is they have little counters that kind of spin to keep track of things.
Yes.
I'm never sure how I feel about counters like that. It's probably just a preference, and I can't always see things. You know, when you spin the one to make it 10, so then you have 9, and you go to a 1 and a 0, and then you go up to a 10. Sometimes subtracting down, for some reason, when I'm flipping those little dials, it makes it difficult for me to go from 10 to 9 or from 20 to 19 instead of going from 10 to 19, because you flip those little dials and you don't always remember to drop the other one. But that's just me. It actually works pretty good. It's a very compact way to keep track of items, you know. Mm-hmm. So they did not come with one of those in the demo. But
that's one they're going to have in the full game.
In the full game. I don't know what kind of additions that they have. I know that they're doing quite well on Kickstarter right now. And they got funded, and I'm very glad to hear that. I suppose our question in saying, would you buy it? If we didn't have D-Day Dice, would we be considering, you know, funding the Kickstarter?
Yes.
You know.
I think it's a nice, quick, cooperative game. I like the subject matter. I like the idea of the red, white, and blue dice together. And I think the theme just ties everything together beautifully.
I have to say, as I mentioned at the beginning when we got this, it was not what I thought. I was not really thrilled with the game, but I am very happy with it now. I probably would not even give the Kickstarter a second glance if I hadn't played the first one, which I think is a mistake. I think if you like, it's kind of a push your luck game because you roll your dice. You have to choose two of them that you can never roll again. And then you get to roll those other four dice up to two more times, trying to get what you need to do things. So that makes it perhaps too Yahtzee-like for some people. But I like dice rolling games where you have a minor amount of control over mitigating bad dice rolls.
And that's done by the cards.
Yes.
And I think it's also helped by that you are working cooperatively in that if you have a bad roll, another player can help you out, give you a few more. So yeah. If you're a little low on troops, they can hand you a couple troops. Or if you need some more wrenches to get tools so you can get an item, they can send you something on there.
There's a lot of different reasons to play games. You know, this is tabletop meta. So I would think that a D-Day Dice would be a very good game for anybody who's even the least bit interested in like teaching history, because there's a lot that goes into teaching history, and then you get all the bare facts, but you talk about how hard it is and how tough Omaha Beach was and the hundreds of thousands of people who died on that beach. And that's all statistics. And this game, and it's just a game, but you can play it, and it gives you the feel of how hard it was. And I mean, you don't actually see all the people dying, but you come away with the feel of how amazing it was to actually win this particular battle in the war.
I agree. And that does it in a, you know, a less than an hour game throw.
Yep. I could see this being a very interesting tactic, a teaching tool to have.
Sure.
That if you wanted to do it, if you have anybody who likes World War II, or even, you know, that like that, you know, tough cooperative games.
Oh, correct. So I think there's plenty of reasons for you to not only check this out, but pledge and get yourself a copy.
Yeah, I like the game.
So I'd like to say a big thank you for Word Forge Games for sending us a demo copy and letting us check it out. And we do appreciate it very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Tabletop Meta.
Because there's more to gaming than playing the game.
See you next time.
Tabletop Meta is produced and edited by Will and Becky Clutie as a part of Burlap and Daisies. For more information on Tabletop Meta, visit our website at tabletopmeta.com. There you can find show notes for each of our episodes, as well as blog posts and more. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter as Tabletop Meta, and on Instagram as tabletop_meta. Finally, check out our guild on BoardGameGeek. Thanks for being a part of Tabletop Meta, because there's always more to gaming than playing the game.